Welcome back, everybody. This is Rick Pettigrew. Let's forget the pandemic long enough to review four top news stories that came out this past week on Archaeologica. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. Perishable artifacts preserved by melting Norwegian ice are telling a story about ancient uses of a mountain pass. A new study of animal proteins in potsherds is looking at thousands of years of animal husbandry in East Africa. Excavation of sites in Iron Age Britain shows that chickens and brown hares were revered and not eaten. And a forbiddingly cold mountain pass in Alaska's Brooks Range is giving up surprisingly abundant evidence of ancient use. The audio news team would like to thank our friends for helping us continue this show without a break since we started nearly 19 years ago. If you are not already a supporting member, please go to archaeologychannel.org and click on the donate button. Especially now, we can use all the help we can get. Here's a heads-up announcement. Because all public gatherings for our film festival now are canceled, we're showing most of the selected films online. See more on the Archaeology Channel International Film Festival page at archaeologychannel.org/festival, where you can find the virtual tickets link and get ready to view the films during Festival Week, May 13 through 17. And now here's Laura Pettigrew with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Pettigrew, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news from April 12th through the 18th, 2020. In our first story this week, we go to Norway, where melting ice in a remote mountain pass tells a new story of ancient travel and trade. The ice patches vanishing from the slopes of Norway's Innlandet County are exposing artifacts that provide new insight into the livelihood of hunters, traders, and travelers along a route that is thousands of years old. As reported by the New York Times, the new finds include tunics and mittens of wool or animal pelts, leather shoes, arrows that still have their feathers, and wood and sinew snowshoes made for horses, along with antlers, bone, and animal dung. Giant cairns, or piles of stones, mark old pathways once used by traders to find their way through fog and heavy snow. The discoveries, reported in the scientific journal Antiquity, were made on Norway's central mountain range by the Glacier Archaeology Program, one of the many programs worldwide studying what glaciers and ice patches are laying bare as they shift and melt because of climate change. According to project archaeologist Lars Holger Pilo, the discoveries show that a mountain pass at Lendbrin on the Lomseggen Ridge was part of a larger network connecting it to the wider Viking world and making it the first such ice site discovered in northern Europe. According to Pilo, the new data show that the mountains were used more than previously thought. The Glacier Archaeology Program began work on the ice patch at Lendbrin in 2006, but attention increased after a wool tunic, which later was dated to the Bronze Age, was found in 2011. Subsequent surveys found pieces of sleds, kitchen utensils, and the remains of horses, suggesting the route was used for trade, hunting, and farming. Travelers used the pass from about AD 300 to 1500, with a peak of activity during the Viking Age around the year 1000, a period of long-range trade and commerce in Scandinavia. The finds yield new insights about transhumance, the practice of regular movement from one place to another for trade, food, marriage, or other social customs, sometimes using these icy mountain passes rather than making longer trips along valleys. The evidence also reflects other local uses of the pass, such as summer farming at higher elevations. The pass was well-traveled, connecting to other parts of the country and ultimately to seaports and broader world trade. The Lendbrin ice patch is the only mountain pass on the Lomseggen Ridge to have a large number of cairns, as well as an undated stone-walled shelter. Transportation-related artifacts found there include remains of sleds, walking sticks, and pieces of a Bronze Age ski. The finds do not include human remains. In East Africa, researchers are working to trace the prehistory of the milk-based diet of cattle herders. A team of scientists, led by the University of Bristol, with colleagues from the University of Florida, used molecular and isotopic science to provide the first direct evidence about the diet of historic East African pastoralists. As reported by the online science site, phys.org, pastoralism transformed human diets and societies in grasslands worldwide. Cattle herding has been the dominant way of life across the vast East African grasslands for thousands of years. This is indicated by numerous large animal bone assemblages found at archaeological sites across the region, which show the long use of cattle, sheep, and goats. Today, people in such areas, such as the Maasai and Samburu of Kenya, live off of milk and milk products, and sometimes the blood of their animals, gaining 60 to 90% of their calories from milk. Meat becomes more important only during times of drought, when malnutrition looms. However, little direct evidence has come to light for how long people in East Africa have been milking cattle. Indirect evidence comes from the broad spread of the C14010 lactase persistence allele in East African populations, which suggests a long history of reliance on lactose-containing milk products. Now, researchers have identified a line of direct evidence by examining ancient potsherds for milk remains. The potsherds come from four sites in Kenya and Tanzania, occupied from 1200 to 5000 years ago, during the time known as the Pastoral Neolithic. The scientists used a combined chemical and isotopic approach to identify and quantify the food residues found within the vessels, specifically fatty acids, which are residues of animal fats that were absorbed into the pot wall during cooking. The findings, published in the journal PNAS, showed that most of the sherds had evidence of cooking meat, bones, marrow, and fat from ruminants or cattle, sheep, and goats, along with some cooking of plants, probably in the form of stews. Potsherds preserving milk residues were less common, probably because, like modern pastoralist groups, people cooked meat and bones in ceramic pots, but milked their cattle into gourds and wooden bowls, which are rarely preserved at archaeological sites. The findings of at least minor levels of milk processing from this far back are consistent with the time it must have taken for the C14010 lactase persistence allele to become common. Future work will expand to studies of other sites within the region. We go now to Iron Age Britain, where new analysis shows that when chickens and domestic rabbits first arrived, they were treated almost like gods, rather than food. Archaeological evidence shows that the first brown hares and chickens to arrive in Britain were buried with care, individually, with their bodies intact. The bones showed no sign of butchery, which suggests they were not imported for people to eat. As reported by HeritageDaily.com, a team from the universities of Exeter, Leicester, and Oxford is curious to know when brown hares, rabbits, and chickens were introduced to Britain, and how they became incorporated into modern Easter traditions. New radiocarbon dates from sites in Hampshire and Hertfordshire suggest that brown hares and chickens came to Britain at about the same time in the Iron Age, between the 5th and 3rd centuries BC. The skeletons show that neither animal was eaten until the Roman period, which began hundreds of years later. In Julius Caesar's famous book on the Gallic Wars, he wrote that the Britons considered it contrary to divine law to eat the hare, the chicken, or the goose. According to Caesar, they instead were raising them for pleasure. 200 years later, the 3rd century AD historian Dio Cassius reported that Queen Boudica released a live hare before the battle with the Romans, calling upon the goddess Andraste to secure their victory. During the Roman period, both chickens and brown hares were farmed and eaten, and rabbits were introduced. But after AD 407, when the Roman army withdrew from Britain, rabbits became extinct locally, while populations of chickens and brown hares crashed. According to Naomi Sykes of the University of Exeter, who is leading research into the origin of the customs surrounding Easter, or the Festival of Spring, the puzzle is to trace how three non-native animals became key symbols of Easter. Historical accounts like that of Dio Cassius suggest that it started with the importance of chickens and hares to the gods. Chickens were associated with an Iron Age god akin to Roman Mercury, and hares were identified with a female hare goddess. This religious significance endured throughout the Roman period, despite growing consumption of the animals. Archaeological evidence shows that as the populations of these animals grew, they were increasingly eaten, and hares were farmed as livestock. Rather than being buried intact like pets, their bones were discarded individually with other food waste. After the Romans left Britain, people stopped hunting hares, and few hare remains are found in sites until the medieval period. By contrast, chicken populations increased. This is likely because in the 6th century, Saint Benedict forbade the consumption of meat from four-legged animals during fasting periods such as Lent. By the 10th and 11th centuries, these rules were widely adopted, and chickens and eggs became popular foods on fasting days. Rabbits were reintroduced to Britain as an elite food during the 13th century AD and grew increasingly common in the 19th century landscape. This likely contributed to the replacement of the hare as a sacred animal when spring festival traditions reignited during the Victorian period and Peter Cottontail began hopping down the bunny trail. We end this week in another cold mountain pass, but this time in North America. Howard Pass is a rock-stubbled tundra plateau in the western Brooks Range and one of the lowest points in the mountains that arc across northern Alaska. This makes it a broad gateway between the great drainages of the Colville and Noatuk rivers. Howard Pass features some of Alaska's most extreme weather, and the region has no available firewood. Despite this, the pass features an abundance of archaeological sites. As reported by the Anchorage Daily News, Jeff Rasick, an archaeologist for the National Park Service, has been working near Howard Pass to help find what drew activity to the area. According to Rasick, people came to take advantage of the caribou, fish, muskox, berries, waterfowl, and in the earliest period, probably bison. Caribou from the western Arctic herd still crowd through the pass during their seasonal migrations. Anthropologist Ernest Birch relates that the wind chill can be so severe that caribou caught there can freeze to death, so after every bad blow, the Inuit used to go into the pass to look for nicely frozen caribou carcasses. In addition, the fish in area lakes were reliable. Winds keep clouds of mosquitoes away, and in the winter the snow becomes hard, crusty, and easy to travel on. Archaeological remains there include hundreds of house remnants, tent rings, food storage pits, scattered stone chips from tool makers, and piles of stones made to resemble humans to help drive caribou into traps. Some of the sites are winter dwellings, with half of the living area underground. These feature entrances that were dug deeper than the house floor level to create cold traps. In 2011, National Park Service scientists installed a rugged weather station at Howard Pass. The results have included a February 2013 wind chill temperature of minus 96.9 degrees Fahrenheit, with winds at a sustained 54 miles per hour. When an atmospheric pressure difference occurs between Alaska's north slope and the rest of the state, cold air from the north rips southward through the pass. In Inupiaq, the language of North Alaska Native peoples, the pass is called Akatuk, the word for a dessert-like treat made of whipped animal fat, sugar, and berries. Natives were reminded of the way Akatuk looks by the wind-blasted snow patterns in the pass. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. I'm Laura Pettigrew, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.